This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. It's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camilla, Tishao Ik and Juliet Jacobs.
Our Twitter poll today asked you which do you think is a conspiracy theory, and you'll find out why we're talking about this later. But most of you think that the Tupac sightings are a conspiracy, because we asked you whether you think Tupac is still alive in Klang, unless you think he's actually alive somewhere else.
He was spotted in Klang, that's what.
Yes. But you know, 18% of you think that moon landings are a conspiracy theory. You know, vaccinations, none of you think it's a conspiracy theory, but there were also 20% of you who say all of the above are conspiracy theories. I'm sure you guys are having a little fun with us, actually. But, you know, keep them coming in. Tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
And the reason you're asking this, shall we?
Well, speaking of conspiracy theories, you know, there's a theory going around that the Earth is actually flat. And this is being put forth by, I mean, there's this...
We know where you stand on this,
Julius. You can knock yourself out after this, yeah. I mean, there's a community of believers from across the world, many of them based in Britain and US. They call themselves the Flat Earthers. So what they believe is that the Earth is flat and round like a pancake, that it is surrounded on all sides by an ice wall that holds the oceans back, you know, from flowing over the edge. Think Game of Thrones or something like that.
Okay.
That the sun moves in circles over the top of this pancake. So when it's over your head, it's day. When it's not, it's night. The light of the sun is confined to a limited area, and its light acts like a spotlight upon the Earth. And also that they think other planets, the sun and the moon, are spheres. But that the Earth is not a planet by definition, because it sits at the center of our solar system, above which the planets and the sun revolve. So this came from a story in The Guardian, and the reporter Richard Sprenger interviewed Dave Murphy, who is a flat earther who has more than 38,000 subscribers on his YouTube channel. So here, let's listen to Dave's theory on the shape of the Earth.
I personally believe that we live on a big disk of water. There's a North Pole in the centre, all the continents are strung out around it. And the edge is what we call Antarctica. Beyond that, who knows what's beyond that? So this is where anywhere is. Beyond here, there isn't anywhere. If this is a realm of 3D space and time, well, there can't be anything outside it, because right. That implies, you know, 3D space and time. But that only applies here.
If you didn't understand that, maybe it says something about the fact that it's not rooted in science. But, okay... Quick poll in the studio. Do you guys think the Earth is round?
Yes. Well, technically, it is not a true sphere.
Mm-hmm. But you don't think it's flat?
No, it's not flat.
Okay. But why? Why do you believe that?
Look, I'm not going to go into a long lecture about this. Although I would like to say that there are flat earthers in Malaysia. There mm-hmm. are a few Facebook pages that I follow, not because I subscribe to their beliefs, but I just want to know what they're all about. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference between whether it's a satire page or whether they're truly serious mm-hmm. about what they're talking about. And even like I don't really know to this point. I don't know whether they're they're really genuine.
They take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
Because my question is, why would anyone spend all this amount of time on a mission like this? I mean, what are they trying to achieve at all?
Yeah. To draw your attention to the fact that this whole world is run by a group of very powerful individuals that are trying to curb our true potential. Mm-hmm, you know what I mean?
Like keep us under control.
Yes.
You know, oppress us.
Yeah. There's a larger conspiracy theory. The flat earth bit is just part of that.
I see.
Yes.
Obviously, I don't read enough about these things because I dismiss
it. Obviously, I follow too many of these pages. Well, I mean, you know, when you think about where our knowledge of the Earth being round, where does that stem from? Where does it originate from? You know, let's go back in history. You know, around 350 BC, the Greek philosopher Aristotle declared that the Earth was a sphere based on his observations of what constellations you can see in different parts of the world. And following that, around 240 BC, Eratosthenes, a Greek astronomer, estimated Earth's circumference by calculating the angles of the shadows cast by the sun in different places. I had to do a bit of some scientific research to figure all this out, by the way.
So you're the one with the lecture now.
And then in the 2nd century, Ptolemy made calculations and plotted coordinates of certain places on the globe to prove the spherical nature of the Earth. Mm. Later on, in 1519, a Portuguese explorer, Ferdinand Magellan, circumnavigated the world, the first such expedition to directly demonstrate Earth's sphericity. They proved it because the ships didn't fall off the edge of the Earth.
But how do you know that they didn't actually go in circles? I'm just saying what flat earthers would say, no?
You would have to go in a straight line and then, you know, actually make a sharp turn, wouldn't you?
No, but if it's a large disc, you just slowly have a, you know, curve in your straight line and then it meets...
Tina's obviously thought about this.
I will leave it to people far, far superior in their intelligence, such as the mathematicians, the physicists, the astronomers, who have proven that the Earth is not exactly, as you said, not exactly a perfect sphere. I think they describe it more as an ellipsoid.
Yes. Well, I don't know the word for it, but thank you for
it. Okay, but aren't there pictures showing the actual curvature of the Earth?
Well, you know, for flat earthers, they're going to say that any photographic evidence can't be trusted because photos
like
will be...
the moon landing.
Yes, exactly. That they were all doctored and photoshopped.
But you know, these are pictures of Earth from space. It's round.
Yes, but we may not actually have gone to space.
Of course, because we didn't land on the moon either. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're actually saying that the space agencies of the world are involved in a conspiracy faking space travel and exploration. And like you said, I mean, is anybody going to go to that amount of effort to perpetuate such a hoax? But, you know, let's turn to somebody I like to watch on YouTube, Bill Nye, the Science Guy. Here's an episode where he explains how we can know for sure that the Earth is round.
Is the Earth flat or round? It's round. Okay, now let's see. How do we go about proving that? Climb a tower or go to the top of a hill or a mountain, and you'll see a little farther, but you will not see to the other side of the Earth, places we know to exist. Go out at sea, and you'll notice you can't see infinitely far. A very, very important thing you have to take into account when you try to navigate the ocean from a ship or a boat is how high you are off the sea surface. The higher you are off the sea surface, the farther you can see, the farther away the horizon is.
I mean, it's one thing to be critical and to question things, which is a fundamental principle in science, but it's quite another to deny scientific evidence of this degree. And at this point, it's not really about the science anymore. It's about questioning power and authority.
In the Guardian report, Dave Murphy says the reason behind all this deception is they have relegated us to a speck of dust in an infinite void with nothing in control. Powerful people have got more money than us, and we can now say, you do as we say.
Yeah, exactly as what you mentioned just now, that it's the bigger conspiracy theory at work here.
Yes.
Well, we have on the line Dr. Karim Bitash, a senior lecturer in psychology with a specialty in social psychology. Dr. Karim, theories like flat earth, you know, like other things like creationism, anti-vaccination, or the belief that global warming is a hoax, it takes a lot of commitment to believe in and promote these kinds of theories. What attracts people to these theories in the first place?
We as human beings are naturally very curious. We're very curious beings. We like to chase mysteries. Eh? We like fairy tales. We like thinking about alien life forms and so on. That's why we love books and music, movies and so on. So that's a natural human tendency. We like to be curious. We like to chase mysteries. But number two, and this is very important, is that, for example, and you see that a lot in the West, when the economy is going down, when especially the middle class and the lower class are worse off than before, when it comes to their economic situation, their life situation, they start to distrust distrust general institutions such as the government, public institutions and universities and so on. And once people start to distrust the general institutions, they start to distrust their narratives. They start to distrust the idea that, for example, the earth is round. They start to distrust the public or the common narrative behind 9/11 and so on. So once people are worse off, they start to distrust the things around them and you see a rise of conspiracies.
But what actually gives, you know, these conspiracy theories legs?
We are living in a day and age of internet. We now can share everything with everyone around the world. So even though conspiracies were very marginal before, you now see that all those people can get into touch with each other and their groups are growing. So you see large groups of conspiracy theorists. And the interesting thing is, and in psychology we call that group polarization and group think, is that once groups of like-minded individuals are together without any kind of individual that goes against their ideas, people start to engage in groupthink. They start to think similarly and their ideas start to polarize. They start to think in more and more and more extreme ways. So that is the natural result of us communicating in these what we call filter bubbles on internet, where we are only with like-minded individuals, for example, on Facebook groups. And then we actually get more and more extreme ideas.
And what's the impact of conspiracy theories?
Well, it depends on the conspiracy theory. We can divide conspiracy theories into two types of theories. One, those conspiracies that are actually convenient to those in power, and those conspiracies that are inconvenient to those in power. So let's start with the first one. Conspiracy theories that are convenient to those in power. Let's take the West as an example, or America as an example. You see that people have economic hardships, their livelihoods are going down, they start to distrust the government, distrust the institutions, but also search for someone to blame. So who do they blame? Well, a large part actually thinks it's the immigrants. There's always this recurring conspiracy theory that it's the immigrants who take away the livelihoods of people. This is a very convenient conspiracy theory. And why is it convenient? Because it actually diverts the blame from the real perpetrators, the 1% who take up all the wealth. So what you see is that when it's a convenient conspiracy theory, those in power will actually promote it. It becomes political. As scientists, this has been researched over and over. It's not the case. Immigrants don't take away wealth. In general, they bring wealth to a society.
Okay, so what about the inconvenient conspiracy theories that you mentioned? What would be an example of that?
Let's say the 9/11 truth movement. Now, I must say, I have no judgment about the truth or untruth of these conspiracy theories. I'm objective as a scientist. But I do think there is a division between convenient and inconvenient conspiracies. And the 9/11 truth movement is inconvenient because it questions the idea that the government, that those in power, have nothing to do with 9/11. This conspiracy is so inconvenient that those in power will use all of their leverage through media, newspapers, internet, and so on to portray these conspiracy theories as lunatics, as crazy, and so on. So what do you see then is that it doesn't become political, like with a convenient conspiracy theory, but it actually gets pushed into the fringes. It gets marginalized. And it's very comparable to what we have seen throughout history, is that everybody who challenges those in power are actually being marginalized, being put down, being pushed into the fringes, and so on.
All these conspiracy theories point to the fact that people just don't believe in years of collective scientific research. What does it say about society today that there is an increasing distrust of scientific evidence and the institutions that uphold them?
That's a very good question, because it actually says something very clearly, namely that people feel very insecure, okay? So people's situations apparently are so unpredictable, people feel so insecure these days, that they start to distrust the institutions around them. Like I said before, If people are worse off, if the situation is worsening, often they start to distrust the institutions around them, and then you see the rise of conspiracy theories. The same is happening right now. We have internet, the world is globalizing, jobs are disappearing. In the West, you see actually the economy is going down among the middle class and the lower class. They start to search for someone to blame, and the first ones they usually blame is the institutions around them. They don't trust anything anymore. In general, people are not feeling well. If conspiracy theories are growing, distrust is growing, something is going on, and often it has to do with their economical situation and an unpredictable future.
That was Dr. Karim Betash, a senior lecturer in psychology, explaining what gives rise to conspiracy theories. So back to the original video that sparked this discussion today from The Guardian. The reporter, Richard Spranger, he ends by saying, if we are to address broader polarization of society, attempting to understand, empathize and build trust are surely important tools to use, whatever the shape of your world. I still don't know if we should give any credence to the idea, although at the same time, we don't want these people to be talking in their own filter bubbles or echo chambers as we call it as well. I guess we need to know what they're saying.
Yeah. And I guess it's mostly harmless.
It is. Such as the theory that Tupac is still alive. That's a harmless conspiracy theory, I'm sure.
I would love that theory to be true. But
yes. So just a final check on that. And on that poll, most of you think that, yeah, the Tupac sightings are conspiracy theory. Moon landings still coming out pretty strong. And some of you actually think everything. Moon landings, vaccination, Tupac sightings, all are conspiracy. So if you want to keep sending us your thoughts, you can still tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can check out our Facebook page on which is BFM The Bigger Picture.
I think that's all the time we have this hour. If you miss any part of the show, the podcasts will be made available on our website, bfm.my, or you can download them from our BFM app or from Spotify. Kelly Anissa will be up next on Live and Learn. She will be speaking with Dr. Teh Siew Tai, CEO of Global Peace Foundation Malaysia, about access to clean water. That's after the 3 p.m. news. You won't want to miss it. To take you to the top of the hour, here's Space Oddity by David Bowie on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.